Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone in Blog Talk Radio Land. I can't tell you how wonderful it is to be with everyone again tonight. I apologize. I was off the air for about, I guess, a month or maybe a month and a half. Not to go on and on, but what transpired, there was a death of a dear family member in December, and I had to travel out to West Texas a couple of times. Then Christmas came up, and I had to go back to West Texas. And during all the stress and travel, I came down with the flu. Oh, and it was a rough one. I think I'm just about over it now, but I was like harking up phlegm. It was bad. But I just kept a couple of nights. I didn't think I was going to make it. I just absolutely could not breathe. But I sat up in a chair, and I just kept drinking fluids, drinking Gatorade. I took some of that, finally at the end, I took some of that colloidal silver. It seemed to help. I think I'm just about getting over it. But I just drank the electrolytes and kept going. And then I was ready to get on. You may have noticed I tried to get on three or four times, and there was like a dumb virus on my computer. I don't know how that crept in. It's keeps putting multiple pop-ups on there. And I was using a internet group. I don't know if I can mention their name, but I think it's called Advanced Tech Support. And I was very happy with them. I've used them for about a year, and you could call them anytime, and they would just log into your computer right on your desk, and they would fix it as you watched. Well, they were out in December, too. And they finally came back on in January, and I asked them what happened, and they said the federal government had investigated them. I don't know if there had been complaints or what. Maybe they were doing too good a job, but that's what the man said. Anyway, I got them back on it. They got most of it off, but I'm still getting a few pop-ups. So sorry about that, folks. I missed a whole month, but I enjoy doing this, and so I'm glad to be back onto it. I tried last night. Our regular time is usually real early Sunday morning, or I call it late Saturday night, 12:30 a.m. I'm going to try and keep that same time, but the computer viruses were just driving me absolutely crazy, and I just couldn't do it at the regular time. So we're going to launch in tonight with What's Got You Hot. And on this program, we like to discuss such issues as the U.S. Constitution, the Federal Reserve, environmental concerns, weather, and Trojan horse issues. So I think one of the first things I'll bring up is to read is sorry to hear another banker is found dead. You know, you find bankers dead and you find scientists dead, those that work on viruses. Seems like some kind of dangerous occupations. Well, here's another one. This was reported on bigstory.ap.org. It just appeared January 4th, 2015. It says hedge fund founder 70 slain in New York City apartment. This states New York. A 70-year-old hedge fund founder has been shot dead in his New York apartment. Police say Thomas Gilbert was shot in the head in his Manhattan apartment at Beekman Place on the east side. He was pronounced dead at the scene. Police are seeking the gunman. Gilbert founded Wayne Scott Capital Partners Fund in 2011. The fund has $200 million in assets and focuses on the biotech and healthcare industries. Gilbert previously co-founded Syzygy Therapeutics, a biotech asset acquisition fund. The shooting was a rare act of violence on Beekman Place, a Tony enclave just north of the United Nations. So we can look more into that. An earlier report I had read said they suspected his son in the murder, but I guess no one really knows for sure. But sad to say, another banker has been found apparently murdered from what it looks like. So we'll keep a watch on that. The next thing I thought y'all might enjoy hearing is I always enjoy listening to Alex Jones, and I found a little compilation of the best of Alex Jones rants. So I think to start the new year off on the right foot, we'll play these Alex Jones rants.
Everything is awesome. Everything is fantastic when you're part of a team. Everything is wonderful when you're part of the dream. I told you 4 years ago that they would let Al-Qaeda, renamed all these other names, Khorasan, IS, ISIS, ISIL, to confuse you, because the paradigm broke last year. The military knows the players, and all the fake bin Laden killings. Now they say the Turk is dead. Another ace card in the deck of bad guys has been taken out by Barack Obama, who fights Muslim extremists worldwide on seven continents and two oceans and five seas, as well as on Mars, the Moon, and Pluto. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, he's the super-duper president who can do anything. He'll save the Earth from climate change. He'll save the Earth from racism. He'll save the Earth from the pesky Muslim extremists. He's Barack H. Obama. He'll also save the Earth from returning veterans, the Tea Party, and those pesky gun owners. Barack H. Obama. Who loves you, and who do you love? Barack H. Obama, our Lord and Savior. To quote Jamie Foxx.
And our Lord and Savior, Barack Obama. Barack Obama. Y'all stand up right now.
Let's go ahead and talk to Rob in Maine. Rob, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, Alex. Would you please stop saying literally every 2 seconds?
Literally.
Literally this, literally that.
I do say it too much. Most talk show hosts go,
Literally.
Literally. Well, the fun part about it is we don't screen your phone calls, so people can call in and say whatever they want and do whatever they want. Literally. You can literally. Listen, I listen to my show sometimes literally for an hour and I have to turn it off because I don't like all my ticks and all my issues. I try my best. I've said that many times. Sometimes I hear my show, and it sounds like the most powerful talk radio I've ever heard. Other times, it sounds like a monkey doing you-know-what with a football. So I hear you, and let's just have a big round of boos for Alex Jones. Turn the mic on. Boo! It's horrible. Now, we're literally going to go to break in exactly 32 seconds. And then literally a few minutes after that, I hear you. When I say literally, I mean I'm not kidding. I mean literally. Literally. All right, now I'm being obnoxious. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un misses shrine visit. Oh, a shrine to that pile of stinking skulls and dehumanization and those zombies with their souls sucked out, those poor North Koreans. I mean, my God, if we need any reason to oppose the giant state and the collectivists, North Korea is writ on the wall in fiery, flaming letters. It screams out like another fire on the hill, the watchtower ablaze, that this is not where we want to go. He's been gone for over a month, hasn't been seen since September 3rd. We have a video clip on that I want to play. As they sit there with straight faces going, and the brass feels bad being purged. Twits, the military over there, parasites on their own people, in just a sycophantic narcissist system. That's Hollywood everything. It's like wanting to hang out with Hollywood stars, I now realize. I was never really into it, but no one would, I guess, know this unless they'd been around it. And that's the whole illusion for people. It's like the Matrix would be like this total narcissist, so disconnected he thought Dennis Rodman was cool. And then they would sit around with top leaders as he smoked cigarettes, watching basketball games. I mean, bizarro, Twilight Zone on PCP. Just, this is hell. I mean, a real red-blooded man. I don't care what color you were. Can you imagine giving 100 Kim Jong-ils a club and getting in a warehouse locked up with them, and you had a club, what you could do to 100 Kim Jong-uns. I mean, just the fact that it's just screaming failure, screaming weakness. And then we look at our enemies, MSNBC, Obama, the globalist, all these UN people. They're all the same. They're Kim Jong-un wannabes. They're nobodies. No one wants them. No one loves them. They have no power. They have no energy. They have no soul. They have no renaissance. They have no lightning. They are complete pathetic maggots, absolutely trying to strangle human beauty, strangle human competition, strangle our mission to colonize space, strangle our mission to ascend into what God has planned for us. These people cannot rule over us, cannot control us, and should not exist. The point is, ladies and gentlemen, is that we are on the verge of the new renaissance. We are on the verge of so much good. If we just realize that they've taken over the churches, they've taken over the culture, they have literally poisoned the society, so crones like Hillary Clinton, punchupdrugsreport.com, look at that ugly, evil, I mean ugly spiritually, ugly, evil witch, and realize, is that maggot meant to dominate us? Are we meant to be her slave? No.
We are in an information war, and we are losing that war.
What does that make Hillary Clinton to the Bush family?
My sister-in-law.
Excuse me. The point is, ladies and gentlemen, is that I am so excited about this because if you realize we have them sneaking around in secret meetings with the plan to register the guns, to confiscate them, to violate the civil rights of all Americans. This is civil right, like not letting black people vote or not, you know,
all the rest of it. They want to steal your right to defend yourself. They literally want you domesticated. They want to dehorn you, declaw you. This is what they think, and you've got to realize it and take it personal.
Vice President Biden and I had a meeting with a group of technology people and talked about how guns can be made more safe by making them either through fingerprint identification, the gun talks to a bracelet or something that you might wear, how guns can be used only by the person who is lawfully in possession of the weapon.
If I could have gotten 51 votes in the Senate of the United States for an outright ban, picking up every one of them, Mr. and Mrs. America, turn them all in, I would have done it.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Hitler took the guns. Stalin took the guns. Mao took the guns. Fidel Castro took the guns. Hugo Chavez took the guns. And I'm here to tell you, 1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms. Doesn't matter how many lemmings you get out there on the street begging for them to have their guns taken. We will not relinquish them. Do you understand?
I don't want that man to have a gun. I wouldn't feel comfortable having an argument with him in his home.
I'm the fastest gun north, south, east, and west of the Pecos.
42,000 pairs, 6X. For the illegal aliens from south of Mexico that bus up on a train every day, to understand, folks, you could wear this. I could wear this as a onesie, okay? I could wear this as a leotard. I mean, oh, my God, we're being invaded by South American walruses. The government is shipping in 42,000 people. That's bigger than Jabba the Hutt. This country is so screwed up, man. I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh, but it's reaching a proportion. If you're a radio listener, you can't see them. Oh, my God. Look at this. Oh, God. I don't think I've ever laughed this hard on air. Oh, my God. I mean, it's so ridiculous.
Every year we make resolutions to lose weight and get in shape. And the truth is, it's hard, even with diet and exercise, because of time.
All right. There were some of the rants from Alex Jones. That last one, he was holding up a pair of, I forget what it is, 6X or something underwear that the government ordered, some men's underwear, and it was so big. I mean, Alex could have worn it as a skirt or something. He put it over his head. Oh, it was unbelievable. For some of the immigrants, I think, that are coming in, I don't know. Well, anyway, that was the end of that rant. Another little interesting tidbit. I had not seen this before, but I kind of picked up on it on Steve Quayle's website. He states, massive cyber attack against the United States. Now, watch in real time. And there's a link, and I clicked on this link, and it's pretty interesting. Well, what it brings up, page is called map.ipviking.com, map.ipviking.com, and it shows cyber attacks apparently from where they're coming from and where they're going to. And oh man, I'm looking at it live time right now, and man, the U.S. is getting hit hard, particularly New York and the central part of the country, the Midwest. Oh, it's just being bombarded. This is interesting, folks. You can watch this. I don't know how they put this together, but it has attack targets. It has, I guess the ones being attacked the most now are United States, Russia, Netherlands, military, government, Taiwan, United Kingdom, France, Poland, and China. And then it shows where the attacks are coming from. Oh, as I'm watching, the United States is just absolutely being blasted. So you might want to check this out. There is a link to this on, like I say, Steve Quayle's website, map.ipviking.com. You can watch these cyber attacks in live time. All right. Let's see. Another thing that was somewhat upsetting to me, people that fly for the airlines and what's been going on with AirAsia, I don't know. It's just most suspicious, but this was also reported on Infowars.com on January 3rd. It says, fatal AirAsia flight violated the route permit. Indonesian Transport Ministry says AirAsia flight QZ8501 did not have proper authorization to fly the Surabaya-Singapore route on Sunday, the day the plane crashed while carrying 162 people on board. It says this AirAsia flight that crashed in the Java Sea on its way from Surabaya to Singapore last Sunday did not have the proper authorization to fly the route. Wall Street Journal reported this on Saturday, citing a spokesman for Indonesia's transport ministry. AirAsia has committed a violation of the route that has been given to them, transport ministry spokesman J.A. Barata told the newspaper. According to Barata, AirAsia previously had a permission to fly daily flights from the Indonesian city of Surabaya to Singapore, but received a new permit in October, allowing it to fly this route only on Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. The airline's flight along the route have now been suspended. AirAsia's Airbus A320-200, carrying 155 passengers and 7 crew members, vanished off radar screens some 40 minutes after takeoff on December 28th and crashed into the Java Sea. The black boxes from the plane are yet to be found. And I read some reports of this, and it said they asked for a different... When you fly on an airline, there's kind of like highways in the sky, but you're assigned certain elevations, and there are other flights there too. And apparently the pilot asked to deviate because of thunderstorms and wanted to climb higher, and I think that was denied because too many flights on the pathway. But it's my understanding that if it's an emergency and you're trying to save lives, you have permission to do whatever you can. I was not in that situation, but it looks like if you're going to fly into a thunderstorm, why don't you just do a 180, turn 180 degrees away from it, and maybe go down to a much lower altitude if you can't climb above it. You know, take some evasive action. The only other thing I'd like to say about the Airbus, the French Airbus, I will not fly that plane because... in that plane because it is almost entirely computer controlled and the pilot cannot override the computers. I know there's a plane, an Airbus that crashed off the coast of South America where they said apparently the pilot tried to regain control of the plane and was unable to do so. And I think that is a big factor in this crash also, is that if air speeds or something change drastically, the computer takes over and the pilot cannot disarm it and regain control. There's even a famous video on YouTube where some of these Airbuses, I think in the early stages of the first test flight, it crashed because all the public was out there and they were selling the planes and the test pilots were in there. And again, the computer... took over and the pilots were unable to regain control, and that one crashed in the United States. I say I personally will not fly an Airbus because I don't trust them. I think they're too heavily into computer management, and it's very difficult for the pilots to take control in emergency situations. So I have to see what prevails on that. But anyway, that's just my opinion. All right. Due to a lot of activities, some of which I've gone into, I did not have a whole lot of time to prepare for this, but I am so happy to be back on the air. You just don't know. And I'm looking forward to next week's. However, I have three about 10-minute audio clips coming up. These were taken from YouTube, the BP Earthwatch channel. And what he's talking about is some of the research work that's going on in CERN. And I used to study physics when I was in college. And you start ginning up these huge particle accelerators or start messing with the magnetic fields, you start messing with antimatter, it's like, you know, if there's a big matter-antimatter interaction, this whole part of the galaxy could just be annihilated in a second. And a lot of this is like experimental. I don't know that they know what the outcome is going to be. It's like when they fired off the first atomic bomb. There was some concern it would ignite the entire atmosphere of the Earth. So I like to see scientists do experiments, but some of them, I don't know, maybe there needs to be a little bit more concern shown by the public on some of these. They could be extremely dangerous. And I think that's what the gentleman that is on BP Earthwatch channel is trying to point out. Now, he had three of these updates. Now, I'll play them in the order that he posted them. The first one was posted a couple of days ago, I believe, and it's called Stargate Ready to Open. So this is the first one. It's called Stargate Ready to Open. We'll play that now.
December 31st, 2014. As you look into MagnetoPulse, notice the timestamp at the top, 12/1/2014, December 1st. This is a calm day, not a lot of solar activity. I just want to get kind of let you take a look at this. Now I'm going to move it up. I'm trying to go to notice the timestamp 12/31 today, but they quit updating this on Christmas Eve on the 24th, and that's as far as it will go. They may be on vacation, not sure. But this thing is out of whack tremendously. Look at the MagnetoPulse. Guys, you've been watching my videos for years. You know that's not normal, and it's blowing out through the what they call the northern lobe. You see that? And look at the bending and breaking, and I've seen this thing collapse into that satellite band, which is, if you notice on the right of this image, is the, goes 15, 14, 13, as well as the COMS South Korean satellite bands. Same thing here, 12/1/24, notice the timestamp. I'm going to go through the same thing. Relatively calm. Now, you can't see as big a difference, but for you guys that watch this particular magnetic field line chart, I'll show you the difference. I'm going to go up, try to go to the 31st. It's not going to let you do it. It's going to take you to the 24th. It could be, like I said, everyone's on vacation, not sure what's going on there. A tremendous amount of density outflow at the back. A lot of your magnetic field lines seem to be distressed. You see this? There's a big difference, and it's been going on. No one's talking about it. Now, if you look at the SDO images and things in the instruments, the sun is very calm. Now, just to break this down, this is just an artist's rendering, but your outer section of this is your magnetosphere. You're talking about your bowshot, magneto sheath, magneto pulse, and you can see how they're numbered. The northern tail lobe, southern tail lobe. There's a lot going on in the inner solar system, so I kind of want to look around, see what we're dealing with. This is Comet Lovejoy. You can see it's brightening, and they're talking about that. It's visible with the naked eye. But guys, let's look at something else. First, you can pause this at any point and read this information. Now, this is talking about neutrinos, and it says they're lightweight subatomic particles that whiz around at near light speed. In fact, trillions of neutrinos stream through your body at any given moment. Though they rarely interact with normal matter, some neutrinos come from the sun, while others come from cosmic rays interacting with the Earth's atmosphere and astronomical sources such as exploding stars in the Milky Way and other distant galaxies. A neutrino's antimatter partner is called a geoneutrino, and like other antimatter interactions, when they meet, they annihilate each other. This is important. They've been experimenting with neutrinos. They found some very amazing things in 2013. We're going to talk about that. Also, antimatter. Both of these are just briefs from NASA guys. All normal particles are thought to have antimatter partner particles with the same mass but opposite charge. When matter and antimatter meet, the two annihilate each other. The antimatter particle partner particle of the proton, for example, is the antiproton, while the antimatter partner of the electron is called the positron. Now, when we know this in basic science, we know that the combination, again, neutrinos, antimatter, this type of particles dealing in the subatomic range, is dangerous. Now, when something else that we need to look at, and I've been accused of this before, is looking too far outside the box. But what we really need to do this time is look inside. And what I want to do is, they're getting ready to crank CERN back up, guys. Now, I've been concerned in the fact that I didn't think they would give us an accurate date. I thought they would get this thing running, crank it up, do what they're going to do, then let us know about it, just in case something goes wrong or just simply for the fact they don't want us to know when they do it. This, you've seen this in the other videos, is the Hindu god of destruction. This is a statue on the CERN grounds there near Geneva, Switzerland. It's right on the border. CERN is an underground facility that's about 16 miles long. It's underground. It's a big ring. It's a super collider. You can read about it. I'm going to show you some more information. But why would they have the god of destruction there? Also, here's an image from the CERN campus. Guys, and that's basically a Tesla antenna that's wired in. Now, this is, again, the holy Tandava dancer allows him to create, protect, and destroy the universe. CERN is its own nation. They have border control, health care, and retirement systems, which are better than those found in Norway. Their languages are English, French, and physics. In addition to guards in the surrounding forest, there's a specially trained fire department, a sign near the entrance where it communicates explicitly that this area is under the control of the general director. Neither Swiss nor French police can set foot within CERN's borders without permission. CERN has no sales tax, nor do employees pay income tax. It's their own little nation there. Scientists from around the world, money from almost every nation in the world has poured into this, and they're getting ready to crank it back up. Now, this article is the latest out. It says in 2015, which is tomorrow, the world's most powerful atom smasher, the Large Hadron Collider, will restart. The particle accelerator has already discovered the Higgs boson, the so-called God particle. And when it comes back online after 2 years spent on upgrades, researchers suggest it could discover other kinds of these God particles as well as extra dimensions of reality. Are you listening? And the identity of the mysterious dark matter that makes up most of the mass in the universe. The LHC is the largest particle collider in the world, with a ring about 16 miles or 27 kilometers around in circumference. It accelerates particles to nearly the speed of light using close to 9,600 magnets comprised of about 10,000 tons of iron, more than the Eiffel Tower. These magnets are made of coils of filaments that, if they were unraveled, would stretch to the sun and back five times, with enough left over for a few trips to the moon. Now, you can pause this and read any of it. It's two pages. I'm going to go through it, guys, but this is the important part of the whole video. The largest of the LHC's magnets weigh 35 tons and are about 50 feet or 15 meters long. They can generate a magnetic field more than 100,000 times more powerful than Earth's. These magnets require cooling from liquid helium, making the LHC the largest refrigerator in the world. The magnets operate at temperatures of minus 456.3 degrees Fahrenheit. That's 271.3 minus in Celsius. Colder than outer space. Now, 100,000 times more powerful than the Earth's magnetic field. What have we just been looking at? The magnetopulse. Inside the box this time, guys. This may be what we're seeing. Maybe they're doing some test runs. But guys, they're talking about coming up again, with something 100,000 times more powerful than the Earth's atmosphere, and that's one of the side products. And we're going to go on through this, and they're looking for a couple other particles. It says, in 2012, the Atom Smasher helped scientists discover the long-sought Higgs boson, which helped grant mass to all particles that have mass. Dimensions, turning something into mass, such as protons and electrons. The Higgs boson itself has a mass of 125 billion electron volts, or more than 130 times the mass of a proton. Think of that. Still as rich as the harvest of results surrounding the Higgs, the LHC was designed to be even more powerful than it has been yet. Just 9 days after it first went live in 2008, a faulty electrical connection between two of its magnets led to several tons of this helium escaping with an explosive force, damaging the magnets. Then they cranked it back up, guys. When they cranked it back up, they had to shut it down. People were reporting sightings of beings coming up in this area of the world there on the French-Swiss border. The police were being called in. There were people seeing giants and things. You remember the other videos. Anyway, this is going to be a lot more powerful. They're saying now in 2015, it's nearly twice as powerful as its first run from 2010 to 2013. Doubling the energy. Scary, guys. Scary as the first nuclear bombs, but even more devastating. Doubling the energy will have a huge impact on the search for new particles. One breakthrough they're looking for, it says it could, after it restarts, is discovering what particles make up dark matter, one of the greatest mysteries of the universe. Dark matter is thought to be an invisible, enigmatic substance that makes up 5/6 of all matter in the cosmos. Again, you're talking about colliding matter and antimatter and all of the different particles that they found. That's how they're doing this. Now, says another discovery, the LHC could make are more kinds of Higgs bosons. The LHC proved that the Higgs bosons exist. No one says there can't be a second or third type of Higgs. Higgs could be a portal into the dark sector. Says at last, the LHC may discover also the so-called Z prime or Z boson. The particle is theoretically a heavier version of the Z boson particle, a particle linked with the weak nuclear force that underlies both nuclear fusion and radioactive decay. Really gets better, doesn't it, guys? But it's a heads up. You can, again, look this information up. But what is going on? They are, again, with this energy, they're going to be able to generate a magnetic field 100,000 times more than this planet is generating from the solar stream that interacts with this planet. It makes you think about a lot of things, doesn't it? The government knows everything about this. We get very little information. They're behind it. The world governments are. Every nation, they've encouraged school children of all ages to become involved in funding and raising money and things like that for this project. In other words, gotten the whole entire world involved and made it look like a very nice thing. Billions of dollars invested, and really, for what? For what? They're playing with fire, they know it. Whoever's behind this, all the way at the very top, which we know who controls this earth, he may have the scientists believing certain things that they don't fully understand the full consequences. There may be a few that do. And then each scientist is divided up into departments as a need to know basis of what the other one's doing. But the government's buying up emergency rationing bullets, we know that, guns. Underground shelters are everywhere, all over the world. They know this is going to be cranked. They're talking about it. We're going to have to update it, guys, because there's too many loose ends to try to make a firm decision. But, guys, without the sun being active and with no other a possible explanation that we can visibly see on why the magnetopause is reacting the way it is. Again, I had to look around and try to see what we were dealing with here. It's a heads up, guys. Be safe.
All right. Some of the information he was mentioning refers to something called the Higgs boson. Checking on Wikipedia, it says the Higgs boson is named after Peter Higgs, one of six physicists who, in 1964, proposed a mechanism that suggests the existence of such a particle. Although Higgs' name has come to be associated with this theory, several researchers between 1960 and 1972 each independently developed different parts of the theory. In mainstream media, the Higgs boson has often been referred to as the quote-unquote God particle from 1993 book on the topic. The nickname is strongly disliked by many physicists, including Higgs himself, who regarded it as inappropriate sensationalism. On December 10, 2013, two of the original researchers, Peter Higgs and Francis Englert, were awarded the Nobel Prize in Physics for their work and prediction. In the Standard Model, the Higgs particle is a boson with no spin, electric charge, or color charge. It is also very unstable, decaying into other particles almost immediately. It is a quantum excitation of one of the four components of the Higgs field. The latter constitutes a scalar field with two neutral and two electrically charged components and forms a complex doublet of the weak isospin SU2 symmetry. This field has a quote-unquote Mexican hat-shaped potential with non-zero strength everywhere, including otherwise empty space, which in its vacuum state breaks the weak isospin symmetry of the electroweak interaction. When this happens, three components of the Higgs field are absorbed by the SU2 and U1 gauge bosons to become the longitudinal components of the now massive W and Z bosons of the weak force. All right, so these particles are what are being studied at CERN. And some of this concerns BP Earthwatch because the CERN accelerator deals with such large magnetic fields. He is concerned that when they fire this up, it actually interferes with the Earth's magnetic field and causes distortions in it. And we're going to play this next tape, which is even more scary. It describes what happens to the Earth if we lose our magnetic field or if it's interfered with too severely. Okay, so this is the next in the series. It's called Stargate CERN Urgent Update. We'll play this one.
January 2nd, 2015. Guys, this video is important for a couple of different reasons. We're going to go through those. But the last video I did about Stargate, you can check it out. If you didn't see it, you kind of need to watch it because it's got information, and this is part two of that. It puts it all together. But I'm going to go back over some of it. Now, you're looking at a computer simulation of the Earth's magnetic field. In the top, you see the blue lines. Those are coming in, and this all of these go through the Earth, guys. Yellow lines come out. That's the direction that the magnetic fields are flowing. Now, in the center, do you see how all the magnetic lines do not just funnel straight through and channel? Again, you're coming in with the blue lines at the top, comes out yellow lines at the bottom. But you see how they actually, like spaghetti, weave through the entire Earth's core from surface areas all the way to the inside. Now, CERN is underground. They are desperately trying to create something. It's like mad scientists when you're watching an old Frankenstein movie, guys. These guys are out of control. Someone needs to be alerted of the full consequences. The scientists there know what I'm talking about. And I'm going to show you the data on the dates when they started firing up these test runs. And the exact moment they did is when our magnetopause went haywire. And it's been there ever since on the exact date I'm going to show you. Now, I also want to go through how important this magnetic shield that you're looking at around our planet is. Guys, you know that Mars, some event happened on Mars that wiped out their magnetic field. Ancient scripts and texts tell us that it was a close passing of a comet or planet or something that caused this magnetic field elimination. Now, when you eliminate the magnetic field, you not only drop your shields, you allow it to strip away our atmosphere. The further it dips in and cuts and dives towards Earth, you're losing in these big plasma bubbles, and you can see that on some of the instruments. When the atmosphere is stripped completely back in huge bubbles as large as our planet. So we're dealing with shields down, shields damaged. We're dealing with atmospheric loss, especially upper atmosphere, and it also protects you on this planet from ultraviolet X-ray radiation and other type of solar and galactic, like proton burst, everything, guys. It's a protective shield. All of that is currently being allowed to enter our magnetopause. It is damaging it. And again, the scientists know what I'm talking about. If they don't, again, they're so departmentalized that it's on a need-to-know basis. But guys, take time to study this. You'll see what I'm saying. But what my concern is, maybe some of the world leaders have been told one aspect of CERN and not the full implication. So maybe this video will get to someone that can make a phone call. But really, the elite have a plan, and this has to be part of it because it's a world project. The people that work there are fully protected, no income taxes, huge salaries. But guys, let's take a look at something else. Now, I will link this information, but it's Wikipedia, and you can go into, just type in Earth's magnetic field, and the more you read, the more that you will understand my concern about this. I'm going to read part of it. If I don't, pause this and read it, guys. But it says, Earth's magnetic field serves to deflect most of the solar wind, whose charged particles would otherwise strip away the ozone layer that protects the Earth from harmful ultraviolet radiation. One stripping mechanism is for gas to be caught in bubbles of a magnetic field, which are ripped off by solar winds. Calculations of the loss of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere of Mars resulting from scavenging of ions by the solar wind indicate that the dissipation of the magnetic field of Mars caused a total or near total loss of its atmosphere. Now, this article goes into paleomagnetisms and some things like that. I'm not going to read that entire section, but it basically tells you where we've had magnetic pole flips, and they've been able to record it in the direction of lava flow and how the metals and magnetic particles inside that lava were pointed north or south at that particular time. In one case, 6 degrees in one day. But what? Not only that, all of the animals on Earth use these magnetic poles for migration, things like that. Think about that. So you're disrupting a lot. So with starting December 12th, when we were starting to see these wild fluctuations with our magnetopause, something was up. Everyone was looking in every different direction. But on that day is when they started doing the test firing on some of the sections at CERN. Now, one other thing. This info was in part one of the Stargate video, but just to kind of go over it before we go to the actual magnetopause, let's look at what we're talking about. On the right, you have you can, again, pause this, but it's numbered and it gives a description below the diagram here, guys. But it starts just like the bow or the bow wake of a boat out front with number one, and that's your bow shock. That's the resistance build back from the solar stream. Now, number two at the top, inside that gray area is your magneto sheath. Then three, you can see magneto pause, then magnetosphere. Now, number three is what we're going to look at. This is the purple area. This is really where we're getting into serious protection. Now, go ahead, five is the northern tail lobe. Six is the southern tail lobe. And here, next to Earth, this is very important. Remember the plasma bubbles that are, that if they're allowed to escape and be stripped away, we will lose our atmosphere. That's called the plasmasphere. All this section here, see, both sides. Now, this is kind of what it would look like on a normal day. But it says the Earth's magnetic field, predominantly dipolar at its surface, is distorted further out by the solar wind. This is a stream of charged particles leaving the sun's corona and accelerating to a speed of 200 to 1,000 kilometers per second. We've seen that go up with coronal mass ejections, solar flares. They carry with them a magnetic field called the interplanetary magnetic field, or IMF. We've seen that. The solar wind exerts a pressure, and if it could reach Earth's atmosphere, it would erode it. You listening? However, it is kept away by the pressure of the Earth's magnetic field, the magnetopause. This area where the pressure balances is the boundary of the magnetosphere. Despite its name, the magnetosphere is asymmetric, with the sunward side being about 10 Earth radii. That's to the left of this image, guys. That's the sunward side. That's when we have the bow shot. But the other side stretching out in a magneto tail that extends beyond 200 Earth radii. That's how much pressure we're getting from the sun. Think about that. And think about our shields being cut in half and in pieces like they're shredding them right now. It says the sunward of the magnetopause is the bow shock, the area where the solar winds slow abruptly. The sun is doing two things. It generates the magnetic field by the solar wind spinning over. If the solar stream stopped, the Earth would stop rotating. The engine, the dynamo, would stop. It's important that there's a balance here. Now let's go to the data. Now guys, in this diagram on the left is the magnetopause. Notice the timestamp, 12:11. Fairly normal date. You can see your outer shock. Now the stream is coming from the right. That's why that center dot, which represents the size of the Earth, is white on that side. It's sun-facing side. Now, on the 12th, notice this. I'm going to change. You can go in and change your timestamps. Now, at the time of this particular section of this video, they had not updated past Christmas Eve, December 24th. Now, look at the 12th. Look at this. This is when I started noticing the disruption. To the right, CERN teams are carrying out all required tests to get proton beams back in the LHC for March 2015. Notice down below that, magnets and wind sector of the accelerator are fully prepared to restart at high energies December 17th, and this is continuing on our magnetopause. The CERN cryogenics team are filling the LHC with liquid helium, cooling entire sections to below 4K. Guys, that's about 452 degrees below zero. They are underground. They are tied into these magnetic fields. Look now, and this has been going on. I went from the 12th and the timestamp top left to the 24th, the last day that they updated. Normally, this is daily. Maybe they're on vacation. Don't know. Maybe they were told to turn it off. Too many people were watching. But again, guys, this is important. This could change everything. They're talking about dimensional portals opening, smashing matter with antimatter, which annihilates one another. They're talking about destroying our outer shields of our planet, disrupting life here. We talked about the navigation of animals. Guys, the weather's crazy. I hope someone at a higher level gets to see this video that has some concern about what's going on. Because if they're allowed to go to full power, there's no telling what we're going to see. Guys, look at the test runs, what it's doing to disrupt our magnetopause. It's incredible. It's a heads up, guys. I'm going to keep watching as they get this thing ready and cranked up, and we're going to watch all the instruments. You can also, if you look on our website, go to the ISWA link. You can see some of the plasma balls being ripped off the backside in one of these charts. Heads up, be safe.
That was the second report on BP Earthwatch, and it's urging people to be aware that of the potential that the Earth's magnetic field could be being altered by some of the experiments at CERN. If you are concerned, if you know someone at a fairly high level, like in the academic community or an elected official, try and get them to watch these YouTube videos on BP Earthwatch channel and see what they think. I would say it is rather cause for concern if it is indeed interfering with the Earth's magnetic field. That's a very important part. We don't realize how splendidly and finely tuned the Earth is. You know, when you look at planets like Mars that may have at one time had water and life and is now more or less cold and barren, you look at the moon, so many planets uninhabitable. We're truly lucky to be here. It's truly a magnificent place with the oceans, with the lakes, with the atmosphere, and also with our magnetic shielding. And it would be a shame to see it destroyed. Okay, so that was our second video. He has one more update, which is posted. I'll play that one for you. This is our last one. It's entitled, Earth Shields Continue to Collapse.
January the 4th, 2014. Guys, you're looking at today's magnetopause. Notice the inward collapse with very little solar activity. We had two small flares. I'll show you that at the end of the video. Not enough, anywhere near enough to compress our magnetopause this close. Guys, what this is doing reminds me of this. Now, I studied this in college and did a paper on it, and I had to create a model. But it's called electromagnetic induction. And when you have two magnetic fields, like on the left and right, in the yellow coils, they can interact with each other. And in this case, let's put CERN, which is on the planet Earth's magnetic field, to the right. These things can, once they interact, not only can they be used for amplification and things like that, or to step down and step up voltage, but they will pull together. And you see those big spacers in the high voltage lines? That was part of the model that I built. When you have two high voltage lines, you've got the current that's interacting between the two, if you see in the left, they will not only interact, but they will pull together. And you see the spacer? That's one of the jobs, not only to keep them from pushing together during high wind, which can sway these things quite a bit, but to keep them from pulling together. Because in my model, as I increase the voltage without the spacer on the model, these things pulled all the way and touched. Not only that, you've got the same setup within the human brain. Don't forget that as we're dealing with the next couple of videos about CERN, guys, and some of the effects. And what we don't know is which one of these are intended effects that's going to be created by them and which ones are side effects, and if, even if they care about the side effects. But some of the things we talked about yesterday at the Council of Time with Michael and Anthony Patch is some of the effects it's having. And what you're looking at is normal conditions in this particular shot. It says the amount of upwelling ions is a function of solar wind pressure or activity. When a CME hits the Earth, it squeezes the Earth's magnetic field, squirting particles stored in the magnetotail up the field lines toward the Earth's poles. The polar auroral fountain sprays ions, oxygen, helium, and hydrogen from Earth's upper atmosphere into deep space. It says, the loss is minuscule compared to the immense ocean of air covering our world, but is significant in terms of what drives space weather around our world. This is normal. We're not in normal times. Now, what happens when you multiply these effects? Notice it says oxygen, helium, hydrogen. That's oxygen, guys. Now, look at this particular diagram. It's amazing to comprehend, but you need to know this. When you have a coronal mass ejection in the smaller diagram, the outer edge of our magnetopause senses that pulse, and through what's called the cusp, the inner section next to Earth called our plasmasphere in the purple, see the small bands, It's an extremely important part. It senses that pulse from the sun. When that happens, it sends out almost like a living organism. Watch this. This was picked up by the THEMA satellite, and it's a model from that event. It throws out the plasma field from around our planet directly towards the incoming CME and helps block it. So we're damaging that also. That's how important. Now, this plasma sphere is very small compared to our magnetosphere. Notice in this model, it does not even cover the poles of our planet. It's small but critical because it's used again in blocking these coronal mass ejections. So when it's depleted, we lose that inner part of our shield too. But it's amazing to see what our planet does. Here's the model again. Notice as you compare the pictures before and after, keeping the globe the same scale, and we'll put the images here side by side, how much loss. Look at that, guys. How much is depleted in throwing that shield out to back up the outer magnetopause. Also, increased electrical storms, higher winds due to pushing down on the atmosphere. Guys, it's called atmospheric pressure. The wind has a smaller pipe or tunnel to go through. Higher winds. Out of NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center, their warning. It says, we found that when the solar wind, when the magnetic field is westward or eastward, magnetopause boundary layers at higher latitudes become most subject to what's called the Kelvin-Helmholtz instabilities. Now, what they're talking about is, says the research led the team to conclude that breaches of the Earth's fragile shield are worse than imagined. It's very hard to imagine a situation where solar wind plasma could not leak into the magnetosphere since it's not a perfect magneto bubble. That's what they're finding out. He says, listen to this. Solar wind penetrates the magnetosphere when the terrestrial and solar wind magnetic fields were aligned. What is CERN doing? Guys, they went back to see if this has ever happened before. They went back 3.5 billion years to find the earliest point. This was in South Africa, and they found it in crystals that had not been polluted by other factors. Now, I'm not sure if they used carbon dating, which has proved to be not accurate. Here's the findings inside these crystals. It said that it suggested that the magnetopause boundary where the Earth's magnetic field successfully deflects the sun's incoming solar wind was only half the distance from Earth it is today. They're saying now about 10 Earth distances, then about 5. Something was going on. It said with a weak magnetosphere and rapidly rotating young sun, the Earth was likely receiving as many solar protons on an average day as we get during a severe solar storm. Now, this means the particles streaming out of the sun were much more likely to reach the Earth. It's very likely the solar wind was removing volatile molecules like hydrogen, oxygen, again, stripping the atmosphere. It says the solar wind can strip away the atmosphere and bathe its surface in a lethal radiation. It said they point, again, they're pointing to Mars, as we talked that, about that before. But guys, this is two or three different research projects going on. Notice also they point out that these particles could get into our electrical grid system without our shields up. Multiple problems when you mess with God's creation. Look at today's timestamp. Look at the inflow at the center. Look at the distortion in the magnetopause as it's opening up the sun-facing side of this whole thing. Check that out. Notice the end streaming in the on the left side. Notice the timestamp. This didn't start until just before noon, UTC time, which is 1 hour ahead of the Geneva, Switzerland, where CERN is. That may be key. Notice in the morning, relatively quiet. Notice the normal standoff on the magnetopause, 906 UT. Let's check this out. Now, guys, there's a lot of new information coming in, and I'm trying to do the best I can with it. But look at the timestamp again. At this time, Geneva, Switzerland is on the backside of the planet. It's nighttime. Now, as it starts to bend in, 1042 UT, which is 1142 at CERN, just before noon as it's turning Earth-facing. In other words, at low power is that magnetic field extending out through this side of the magnetic field more, and as it's exposed to the incoming solar stream, kicking in higher. But again, as they react, they're going to pull together. Remember the diagram showing the power lines with that spacer to keep that from happening? That's what we're seeing because there's no outer pressure. 1326, 1330, just 4 minutes apart, you can see the inflow. Again, we put spacers in there to prevent this. Now, we have the plasma sphere, which you see there trying to react and push back. But, guys, this is serious. It has not been recorded continuously like this since I've been watching it. Go back again, 1219. This is 7 days after activation. That thing had completely opened up in the front. Now, here's what we have not been dealing with, and it will be interesting to see. Solar activity is starting to kick up somewhat. We've had a couple mid-grade flares, guys, but this particular sunspot has now went beta, gamma, delta, which means it's capable of X-flares. Now, you notice, again, small flares, but it's been calm for the last week. So that activity is kicking up as this Earth-facing sunspot, again, beta, gamma, delta. They're calling it 2253. See that? Dead center. Just below the equator, too, which the Earth is also. Notice that zero line. So that's as Earth-facing as you can get. Now, how will that affect what we're seeing as far as the effect on the magnetopoles? At low power, let's watch it as the European side or the Geneva, Switzerland side of the Earth turns Earth-facing. Let's see if there's a difference there between day and night. Let's see if the increased magnetic activity from the sun, from these flares, and remember, if you check space weather, there's a large coronal hole that you see in this image in the bottom in the V, that darker section. That's streaming a lot of energy towards the planet. That increases your solar wind speed. How will that affect the inductance between the two magnetic fields? It's going to increase it. Will it further collapse the magnetopoles? Guys, we're just getting into this series. I'm throwing some things out there. I'd like to hear your input. Heads up. Be safe.
Well, folks, I don't know what happened on that. All of a sudden, the Skype connection broke up. Maybe something interfering with the magnetic field. All right, I think that is an interesting concern that is being brought up about CERN's effect on the Earth's magnetic field. And on short notice, I think that is going to be the end of our program for tonight. I'm so happy to be back. I really enjoy doing these programs. I look for little news items and tips all during the week. It's fun to put it together. Hope to see a lot of you back. We're going to try to maintain our regular schedule, which is real early on Sunday morning, 12:30 a.m. on a Sunday morning. So we'll try to be with you. It'll be about 6 days from now. We'll post it up on the Blog Talk site. Hope everybody goes out and has a very nice week on this 2015. And God willing, we'll see you 1 week from tonight on What's Got You Hot. Good night, everyone.